for leaving you. I can't think of, never had to. We both understand that we are the reason for one another. Seasons will be new, and we'll both find ourselves so far apart. Stay my lover, I will always learn to find a way. So I gotta just straighten out your heart, feelings don't lie, and I felt it from the start. Cause I can't see you often, places where I know only that I can take you. Dream this dream without you. We both understand that we are the reason for one another. Seasons will be new, and we will find ourselves so far apart. Stay my lover, I will always learn to find a way. So I gotta just straighten out your heart, feelings don't lie, and I felt it from the start. Cause I can't see you often, places where I know only that I can take you. So I gotta just straighten out your heart, feelings don't lie, and I felt it from the start. Cause I can't see you often, places where I know only that I can take you.
Thank you for having me.
Music Man. And now Giwa.
Giwa now.
Yeah. The Giwa. Artist formerly known as Music Man.
That's it.
Yeah, we're going to come to the Giwa change name. How about you introduce yourself a little bit?
Well, I go by the name Giwa. I'm an artist, singer, songwriter. Play a few instruments. I'm a producer. I've been doing music. I've been playing the piano since I was like 8, but I started doing music like properly when 2009. I think that's when I started like kind of like thinking, okay, I can actually, you know, make my own music and, you know, put it out there for people to listen to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and it's just been really great since then, and I've been involved in a few bands. I've played in festivals. I recorded 2 albums, put on Spotify. I've got 2 singles out as well from the 3rd album I'm working on now. My favorite single out at the moment is the Distorted Memories one. I think you featured one of my beats on your playlist.
On my playlist, exactly. Yeah.
I think was it Show You took?
Excuse me.
Was it Show You, the name of the title of the
it
track
was
you shoot?
Distorted Memories.
Okay. So you like that one?
Yeah.
To be honest, I wasn't too sure what people would think about the track still. I like it, but I don't know what people think about it because a lot of people say it's good. But I just feel like, yeah, it's okay.
It's
you know?
It's nice. So we'll come to all that. Let's go back to the little Giwa.
Yeah.
Where was he born and raised? And well, you already mentioned like the role, which role did music play in his life?
Yeah, I was born in Nigeria. And obviously I did my school in Nigeria, but when I came here when I was 18, and I stayed here, and I did my A levels, and I did my university here as well. That's in England, Brighton. And it's been a lot of ups and down with my life because I've had to move. I've had to change locations and stuff. So that was kind of like a hard thing for me to deal with. But in terms of music, I've always like been into music since I was young. I've always played in church. My mum was a singer. My dad has a really huge collections of music from like your, Fela Kuti to, King Sunny Ade or to your Billy Ocean, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye. So he got me into that kind of music at a very young age. He used to tape like music videos for us, just for us to watch on MTVs and stuff like that. And yeah, that used to be pretty much our entertainment because we didn't really like go out that much. So music was pretty much our, entertainment all the time. So when I started realizing that, I had the ears for it was when, I started, going to church and I saw the keyboard and I started playing with it and I realized that actually I could work it out, And yeah, just carried on from then and, did my uni, I did my studies and because of studies sometimes I didn't want it to interfere with music, so I had to put music aside for a bit. But
So
then, when I
you didn't study music.
No, I didn't study music at all. I studied engineering in uni. I did electrical engineering, yeah.
Yeah, kind of music making is engineering in a way, like
Yeah, I think
producing.
that's why I am. That's why I'm good with the producing side, I think. That's more of the technical side of music. So it's kind of like it's easy for me to understand certain terms because I'm a technical person as well. Because music is art, and also you have the technical side of music, which is like the production, and we talk about EQing and all that kind of stuff. That's more like engineering terms, and I understand that due to the fact that I have that background as well. And I think that's why I do what I do now. That's why I can do it because I have different backgrounds and I can put all my skills together and make something out of it,
So you speak Creole because you're from
Oh no,
Niger. You
I don't.
don't. You speak
I
what?
speak Tiny Yoruba. Yoruba.
Ah, Yoruba. Okay,
That's
because
a nice.
I know, I
That's a
know.
nice.
I know Yoruba and I know Igbo.
Okay, Igbos. I don't speak Igbo, but I
Yeah,
my friends.
I know Igbo people, and I thought you might speak Creole because my son's father speaks Creole, and I learned a bit.
Creole is different. Well, I used to go out with a girl that speaks Creole, and I think she got me into like, quite a lot of that kind of music. I like that kind of music. Like, I don't know, Cape Verdean Seychelles and all that kind of place.
No, I don't.
They speak Creole in Seychelles and speak Creole in Cape Verde as well. So it's like, they have a very unique style of music called Kizomba, in which
Yeah,
is
this I
something that,
know. Yeah, beautiful.
and I listen to that as well. And one of the tracks I've got on the album coming now is kind of got that kind of feel as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to do that. This album is just, it's a lot going on. I'm fusing a lot of things. So
I think it's
yeah.
gonna be a restart, just like your name. So let's go. Wait,
Yeah.
first, let's talk about Music Man before we come to Giwa.
Yeah.
Because I know you or got to know you as Music Man, and the Music
Yeah.
Man is spelt with a Q, like music, the artist.
Yeah.
Does that have any is the reason that it's like it reminds
I
me
do
of
actually love him. I love him a lot, and I listen to him a lot. But when I chose the name, to be honest, I didn't really have that. I wasn't thinking about him. Mm-hmm. Because what made me choose the name was the fact that I realized that I had quite, you know, a lot of skills with music. So I could, you know, I could do pretty much everything musically. So I couldn't really think of any name I could call myself. I was like, yeah, I must be the music man, you know.
True.
But then I put a Q just to, you know, make it a bit unique. Mm-hmm. But then I did it and I was just like, oh, wait a minute, there's someone called Music Soul Child already. So I was just like, well, it's okay, it's Music Man, it's not, you know, it wouldn't be that bad, you know, at least it's still slightly different. But then, you know, there were loads of Music Man that I found online, and you know, that was kind of like, even though I feel like my because I have a lot of work out there with that name, so I feel like if you type down in the internet, that would come up first. But I just feel like there were still quite a lot of people that was using that alias, and I felt like it was very generic. So I started thinking about having a little transformation about my, you know, my alias. So I was thinking about, you know, I've been thinking about this for years. I made the decision recently, but it's like years of thoughts have gone into this, because I really wanted to choose a name that means something and also very unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, I know that. And once I choose that, that will be my name for, you know, for the rest of my career, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it, and you know, the name Giwa just kept on popping in my head, and Giwa is the title and the name of my granddad. Mm-hmm. So, and when I was growing up, my grandmom used to tell me how much I look so much like him. Mm. And you know, I'm kind of like his carbon copy or something, that we have a very huge resemblance.
Do you know him? So, did you meet him?
I met him when I was very young. But apparently he was too old, and my dad told me I got scared of him. I didn't want him to touch me at all. It was actually quite funny. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
no.
Funny. It's like, you know, I was scared of him. I didn't want him to touch me, because I was looking at him. So I was just like, oh, no, get him away. That kind of thing. But I later got to know how he was, because my grandmom told me a lot about him when I grew a bit older. And, you know, he was a very important man in my town. He was an advisor to the king, mm-hmm. in my town. Mm-hmm. The name Giwa means leader. Mm-hmm. So I started, you know, I just started, you know, thinking that, you know, that's me, you know, that's me, you know.
It's beautiful that from having, being afraid of your grandfather, that now you show the respect through that.
Took his name, yeah. Uh-huh. And he just like, since I just like, that's me, and I just couldn't really think of anything else that makes sense, you know. Mm-hmm. And as unique as well. Mm-hmm. It's actually spelled Giwa. That's actually the spelling. I add the H there for uniqueness as well. Because mm-hmm. obviously when I typed in Giwa again on the internet and stuff like that, I saw a few Giwa came up, and
leader,
I was like,
because it's called leader. Yeah.
Yeah, I want something unique, so I had to add the H, and once I add the H made it quite unique.
Yeah.
So that's why I just that's why I chose the name, and I think that's gonna be my name till, you know, till I die, I guess.
Okay, Giwa. So from being the music man to having, like, where you were very, is versatile the word? Where you?
Yeah, versatile. Yeah.
Yeah, versatile. Very, very. A huge range of different music styles, right? Which I know because I
dynamics.
Yeah, range. Because I see you practicing like almost every day on Instagram.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was post stuff
with all the songs and from playing, well, being the music man and who sounds like a mix of many things, and who's very inspired by Anderson .Paak and Miguel, Frank Ocean. Music, of course, and to now becoming Giwa, does it also change the music? Like,
oh no, the music doesn't change at all. The music is only for me. I think the music is gonna get better, like, because I'm writing, like, what I'm writing right now, I can already see it, that it's gonna be better. Because mm-hmm. My last album was titled Lost in Beats, and I released it as an instrumental album because it was actually meant to be vocaled by two Americans. But then it didn't really happen. And I wasn't, because the thing about me is I'm the kind of artist that I've been self-sufficient for a long time, that I don't like to wait around. And, you know, everything has a timing, and I have my own timing. I know when I need to do things. So I just cracked on with things and just released the album as an instrumental album. And to be honest, I was really, really skeptical, because only because I was thinking my first album, which was The Jonos, was vocaled. And I'm now dropping an instrumental album. But I was so confident with the production style and the growth I've shown from my first album to it, that I just wanted people to listen to it. I didn't care. So I just put it out anyway. And I think that was the best decision I've ever made in my life, because I feel like that album really opened a lot of doors for me. Because after that, that was when, you know, I started getting a lot of people, you know, a lot of attention from, you know, even Instagram and stuff, or Twitter or that kind of thing. Or, you know, just people messaging me saying that, you know, you make really good music, you know, keep doing it. So it's like, you know, that's just made me think, you know, I need to take this to the next step now. So this is what the third album is about, because I feel like, you know, I've lived, you know, quite a long time in Brighton, and I have a lot of experiences. And I feel like even in Nigeria as well, I still have those experiences. And I feel like now I need an album that just kind of shows my identity. And this is what the third album is about. And that's why I've changed my name as well, because I just feel like everything now makes sense. You know, I have my own identity. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like, because I don't feel like I do have a lot of influences, and I think people can hear it. But I think as well, I do have my own unique style. And I think that's one thing that I don't want to lose or, you know, compromise in any way. And so that's why, the music is not going to change at all. The music is only going to get better. And I'm still going to be fusing stuff, you know, because I'm a music lover. I listen to all sorts of music. So I just make it as I feel it, you know, and you know, tell my life experiences and all my, you know, all the things I believe in, stuff like that.
But in that way, that same way that you become like from Music Man to Giwa, you said now the new album is going to show your identity more. So it's more of you, so to speak.
Pretty much. Because I've always like kind of been in the background. I've mostly like just kind of produced, like kind of done the music. And that's why I've gone by the name Music Man. And I felt like if I'm going to start writing and singing on this, you know, on these tracks, I need a name that actually just shows the identity of the vocals, because I feel like Music Man is not really a singer, you know. Music Man, well, the producer. So that's why I had to do all of that. I was really worried because I wasn't too sure how people were going to take it, and I was worried because, you know, Music Man is really, you know, is kind of done. People know Music Man, you know, and I feel like that transition might make people confused and be like, oh, you know, or people might not, you know, be able to find me anymore, that kind of thing. But, you know, so far so good, it's all right.
I liked you before. I liked the Music Man, but I was like interested in why the change and what does it stand for and what's going to come. You know, so I wanted to talk about that. So You are a multi-instrumentalist, like you play many instruments. What do you play?
Yeah.
And all of that is self-taught, right?
Yeah. Everything is self-taught apart from the piano, because I did take classical piano lessons. I did like grade exams, so like grade five as well. And I read music as well, but I'm not a sight reader. I can't sight read, but I read. I take my time to read music and, doing my own way. In terms of instruments, I'm quite good with drum machines because that's what I use for doing all my drum tracks and stuff like that. My first instrument is the keyboards and pianos. I play pianos. I'm quite good on the bass as well. I play bass. I'm very, 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 very like rusty on the sax. I just like to teach myself the sax. So yeah, I'm still working on that one. And like percussions as well, like congas, like because that's how I started. In Nigeria, it used to be African drums like djembe and stuff, so I can play all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, and my voice as well. So yeah, just I use quite I just use whatever instrument I can and try to use it to the best of my abilities. But I would say my core is the keyboard. It's like, yeah, that's my core.
So when you produce your album, you play everything yourself, or does your
Most
band
of the
play?
time.
Yeah, because I see
Most.
when I see you on Instagram, it's you have a band that you play with
Yeah.
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The band is actually something that was quite recent because what happened was it was funny because I didn't have a band 4 months ago, 5 months ago. I didn't have a band because yeah, no, because it was something that was quite recent, and that happened organically as well because after writing two albums, I was playing in another band. Like there's a band called the EME. It's based in Brighton. I was playing there, but it was more like an instrumental band. So we're wearing like, well, I do vocals there sometimes, but not so much. So we weren't really performing that much anymore. And I felt like I had two albums and I'm writing a third album. So I started thinking, I need to, if I'm gonna obviously do this third album and obviously you sing it, maybe I should start thinking about putting a band together to perform it as well, because that's gonna be the next anyway once the album is finished. But I was really skeptical about the musicians I wanted to play with because it's quite difficult sometimes to, especially when they are like working musicians, and when you're just trying to start something from the floor and you can't really like afford to pay them or stuff like that. And it's like I was thinking that, okay, I'm not gonna do this until I can afford to pay these musicians to play my music because I want to do this very, very well. I want to do it properly.
And long
And
term.
exactly. So, because I have plans for next year for tours and, I got in contact with a lot of booking agencies and stuff like that. So it's like, I really want to take this music out next year, And I didn't want to start with a band where, we start then, it falls apart, And so I was really, really skeptical about the people I wanted to play with. But then, again, Instagram is wonderful. Because the drummer found me on Instagram. He saw one of my videos playing the piano, and he was like, "Oh, you're really good, man." I'm just like, "Oh, thank you." Like, and when people send me that kind of message, I go on their I go on their page to see what they're about or whatever. And I went on his page and I saw that he was a drummer, and I checked his video. I was, "Oh, wow, you're good yourself, Like, really nice groove you got there." And oh yeah, it's like, where are you based? I was like, "Oh, I'm in Brighton." I was like, "I'm in Brighton." And he's like,
Oh,
"What?
really?
You both?" Yeah. So okay, cool. Like, and he suggested we should have a jam. And I was just like, actually, no, I have a better idea. Should we form a band? Because I'm writing new songs at the moment, and I've been thinking putting a band together. And he was like, "Actually, yeah, we hope for that. I've got a bassist." And I was just like, "Okay, I've got someone. I know some musicians." So we just kind of met. Had a little meeting. So the bassist came with Scott Gentry. The drummer is called Lee Bridges. And we ended up basically having a conversation, and I told him my plans. I told him that, this is what I'm gonna do. This is about, my brand. I've been writing, new music, and I've been writing lyrics and stuff like that. I want to perform the songs, and I'm writing this third album. But I feel like, it's nothing wrong with performing the songs I'm writing from the third album now, because it's all part of the process, I guess. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, something is it, I've met you for a reason, you know what I'm saying? So, and everything just fell in, it just fell in place very quickly, because I just had to, like, you know, get hold of one of my friends called Herbie, and he's a great guitarist, and I've always wanted to play with him. So I just asked him that if he wanted to be in the band, and he was like, oh yeah, show up for it. So he just joined the band as well. So four of us, and then we had a keyboardist called Tom, because I wasn't really going to be playing any instrument. I just wanted to focus on my vocals,
yeah,
and just do vocals. But yeah, he ended up that most of the keyboardists really weren't, like, up for it. Like, they weren't, it's not like they weren't up for it. They dig the music and everything. I just felt like the commitment wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So I started just thinking, you know what? How about I just do it?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the rehearsals, I just did it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Because I do actually enjoy playing and singing at the same time. And so it's like, and also it's part of my own development as well, because it just makes me a better musician, a better mm-hmm. performer,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and that's how we just, you know, that's how we just, you know, play now, you know, just four of us. I'm on keys, vocals, and you've got Herbie on guitar. You've got Lee on the drums, and Gus Cotton bass. And, you know, we just do our thing, and people really like it. You know, we've been gigging. And also I do a stripped down set with Herbie as well, like an acoustic. So just the guitar and my voice.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that. Yeah, we're doing that next week at the Mesmerist
mm-hmm.
in Brighton. As one of the performances I have. So it's like, you know, now it's just great. I have the band, and now I'm writing the album, and now the band is kind of like even like helping me complete the album in a way, because we're playing the music and I'm getting even new ideas. I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna put that in the production or whatever, that kind of thing. And also now that I met them now, Herbie is gonna be playing some of the guitar parts on the album. So it's like everything is just, you know, it's like it's working. It's like a well lubricated machine. It's just like, yes, everything is in place. So next year, really, we need to hit some places. That's the plan.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Very nice. Very busy year.
Yeah, it's gonna be definitely.
Okay, great, Giwa. At the end of the interview, I'd like to ask you some general questions.
Yeah, go on.
It's not
so embarrassing. It's fine.
Ah, damn! I didn't prepare one embarrassing one. Depends on the answer you give.
I'll answer to the best of my knowledge. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. Hold on. Where is it? Oh yeah. Yeah, which was your greatest musical experience?
My greatest musical experience, wow. Mm. It must be when I went to Love Supreme Festival. I think that was 2013, if I'm right. And I think that was when I met Robert Glasper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, do you know who Robert Glasper is?
No.
He's basically, he's one of my idol. He's an amazing...
Oh, Robert Glasper.
Yeah, he's an amazing kid.
He's great. I know him. He has very great albums, and he's very funny too on Instagram.
Yeah, I met him. Yeah, he's a joke. I met him at Love Supreme Festival. I was so happy.
Oh wow!
It was one of the best time in my life, because you know I got to see someone I really look up to and asked him questions I was dying to ask him. He was just like. It was really good. It was really, really good experience. And
tell me which questions and what did he say?
Well, we basically, because it was funny, because when I finished, because my band was playing at the festival as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we finished, and I had the artist wristband, so I could go to backstages and stuff.
Yeah.
So I timed when he was gonna go on stage, because it was meant to go on at 10. So I thought about 9:30, he must be at the back now anyway, mm-hmm. trying to get. Went to the backstage where I was playing, because I was playing at the Big Top, just hoping I would see him. And to my surprise, and I saw a guy called Casey Benjamin. He's part of the band. He's a saxophonist in the band. He's got like a really crazy braids on his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey Benjamin was there tuning his saxophone. And when I just went to him, I was so happy and I just smiled at him. I took a picture with him and I asked him, where is Robert Glasper? And he was, oh, he's just there. And I was like, oh, he's there. So he just went there. Let's go. So I talking to him and we just, you know, he was telling me how, you know, he used to like drag his big Rhodes, you know, the piano Rhodes when he used to drag it like on the ground. He used to carry it. And have a car, or whatever. He just used to do gigs in New York. Then he was telling me how him and Bilal, you know Bilal?
No.
Bilal's a singer.
Bilal, yeah, Bilal's they're friends. Yeah. I just recently saw them with their kids.
Yeah, they're really, really like close. And he was telling me, you know, how they grew up together. And he was telling me now Bilal is the best singer in the world. He thinks Bilal is the best singer in the world. Yeah. And I think Bilal is one of the best singers in the world.
That's true. Yeah.
And it was just telling me so many things. Like, it was just saying, like, you know, just do your thing, you know, do music that makes you happy, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So it was one of those people that just kind of like gave me that edge that, you know. And it's funny because I even on that gig, because I was watching him backstage, someone was there with us as well that's quite famous as well. His name is Corey Henry. He plays for Snarky Puppy. I don't know if you know Snarky Puppy. It's great band.
That I really don't know. I'll write it down.
Corey Henry is an amazing keyboardist as well. And I didn't even know who Corey Henry is at that time. Because he was the one that introduced me to Corey Henry. He told me, because I was talking to him and he was like, do you know who that is? I was like, no. And I felt a bit embarrassed because I feel like, should I know? And he was like, that's Corey Henry. That's Snarky Puppy's keyboardist. I was like, oh, really? And, you know, I got to meet Corey Henry as well on that day. So it was like, you know, it was just a great day on that day. And I think those are the kind of things that made me realize that, you know, I just need to do what I do, you know, like, you know, that's it. Like, just forget about, you know, what people think. Like, cause I, as a time in my life that I really, really did care about what people think about my art. But now I think I'm past that. I don't follow people. I follow what I do and I do what I do. And that's it. You know, and if people don't like it, it's fine. And people that like it, you know, and
same for me with the podcast.
Yeah. This is the attitude I have now with my music. And I feel like with that attitude, I'm more content with what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah. That makes me want to ask you one more question about what made you change from being an engineer to becoming a full-time
musician? Well, I never really actually worked as an engineer. I just studied it. And to be honest, it was more like a backup plan in case music didn't work out. Mm-hmm. That was because, you know, I'm from African. I've got African parents, African background. So they don't really believe in, like, you know, music makes you, you know, money or you can be successful being a musician. You know, they don't believe in that. So I'm lucky that my parents are a bit lenient and they're not like, because some African parents can be really, really like pushy with their kids and stuff. But, you know, my parents were never like that. My parents are very open. You know, they did let us do what we wanted to do. But my dad just advised me and went like, you know, do what you want to do, but just make sure you have like a backup plan, because in case if it doesn't work out, then at least, you know, you can fall back on that. And I listened to him and I just thought, you know, what do I like to do apart from music? And I was like, I'm a technical guy. I like technical stuff, you know. Since I was 14, I was, you know, I could couple computers and stuff. I put computers together and stuff. So I just felt like, okay, that's an interest that I can take on. And I studied it and I enjoyed it and I got a degree in it. And now I'm doing what I love and that's it.
I think it's not the worst advice because I think it's a lot easier to study when you're young than when you're older.
Exactly. It's true. I believe that. And I'm happy that I've done that. You know, I put that right. And now, you know, my dad is very, very happy about what I'm doing. And he doesn't even really, I can just see in his face, he's very proud of me and he's happy. He's like, you know, because he knows that he's like, you know, he just told me, you know, you got your degree now, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, you know, and, you know, if the music doesn't work out, then, you know, you can fall back to your degree and stuff like that. So I'm not scared of anything right now, you know, I'm just taking my time. I want to do it properly and get music out there. That's what I want to do. Play more shows. I want to do more festivals.
You're hungry. I can see it.
I'm itchy.
That's great. So the last question, in what way can hip-hop or music or art be a healer?
I think music has always been a healer for me because it's something I haven't mentioned, but my first album was actually dedicated to my mom. And that was because my mom passed away, you know, 2007.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the time that I started realizing again that, you know, I need to do something for her, you know. Music was the only thing that I could think of doing very well. And I think she would appreciate it because she was the singer and she was the one that got to music and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I can't think of anything else that she would appreciate more unless I dedicate, because that was her passion as well, you know. And it's funny, my mom's sister's daughter, because I put some mom's that sister. She's like my,
your niece.
I mean, she's like my niece, yeah, but she's older than me.
Okay.
So she's like, she was the one that told, like, she, because I put some video on Facebook about, you know, me DJing, because I DJ at a radio station, and she was telling me about how she's so glad to see me that I'm into music, and she reminded me of how passionate my mom was about music as well.
Oh.
Yeah, just that almost brought tears to my eyes when I read that comment.
Yeah.
So it was just like, you know, it just made me realize that actually all these things I've been doing, you know, it's for her. And, you know, I'm glad that at least people are seeing it as well, you know, because that's what it's about. So music has always been a healer for me. I've always used it for everything, you know, everything. It's my own way of expressing, and it's my own way of healing myself. It's my own way of talking. You know, it's just my way of everything. And I don't know how to explain to people that I don't know any other way of, you know, that, like, the best way. I can obviously express myself the other way, but I just feel like music is the best way I can express myself, you know?
You know what's great about music? That even when it already heals you, then somebody else listening to it, who might have gone through something similar or even different, it heals him too, maybe.
It's true. That's, I believe that, and that's the reason why I just feel like people need to hear from me. You know, people need to hear what I've got to say, and I feel like there's so many things that people can relate to that I've been through. And, you know, Anderson Park has made me realize, and that's why I love him so much, because he's just like, it's so refreshing to hear him at this time where, you know, I feel like the whole hip-hop soul or R&B, I just felt like it was just too commercialized for me that I can't really get into it anymore. Because, you know, I was into my 90s R&B, you know, commercial. I'm talking about commercial stuff. Now, I was really into that. No, because back then I felt like the music was still good. You know, they were still making it musical.
Yeah.
I feel like now it's just, I don't know. I'm not a music snob, and I don't want to, because art is art at the end of the day. And I don't want to put anybody down or whatever, but this is, I just feel like I don't get into it. I don't get into it. And, you know, to hear people like Anderson Park coming out at this age, I was blown away when I heard the Malibu album.
Me too. And
the first album that made me feel that way was Kendrick Lamar's album, To Pimp a Butterfly. That album blew me away as well. And I just was like, you know what? This is what I've been saying, and this is what I want to do. Like, and people are like, come on, just do it. Like, you know, see, like, people are doing it and people are listening to it and people are digging it. Because over the time I went through, I just went like, you know what? All this music I'm making it because I love it, but I don't think it's going to get anywhere because I don't sound like Drake. I don't sound like, you know, all this, you know.
Please don't.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was when I was thinking then. And, you know, then after I just, you know, I started, you know, people like Kendrick Lamar and now Anderson Park just made me realize that, you know what?
There's
you
can still room.
You can be a true artist and just, you know, you just need to keep pushing and you get there, you know? Because when I listen to his story is very similar to mine. He's gone through a lot of things, and that's why I really like his music, and that's why I can relate to his lyrics as well, because he says so many, because especially The Waters. When I heard The Waters for the first time, I'm not a rapper. But it made me want to rap straight away because I was just like, I like what he's saying on that record. You know,
I saw it on YouTube. You did a medley, right?
Yeah, I did a medley of it because that's my first rap ever. I don't rap.
It's really good. Really good.
I'm glad you like it. It's just like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just things like that. It just make me, it's really inspired me. And I've really not, and now that I have my band now, I just feel like, yeah, I'm on it, and I'm gonna be unstoppable because I'm obsessed with it right now, you know. And you know,
it's funny.
It's gonna come.
It's just been this year, some months ago, some other interview guest told me about him. I haven't heard of him before, and I loved the album too, but now that you tell me he's had a similar story, I might have to read about that more. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I just loved the album.
He was homeless. You know, he didn't have a house for a bit. He had a baby boy. He had a wife. You know, he was working like in a wheat farm, you know, all that kind of stuff to pay his rent. You know, his dad was never there. His mom was obviously a farmer as well, and that's why I don't even know the song "Carry Me," when he goes, that was on Bad, when he says, "Mama was a farmer, father was a gunner, so his father was never there," you know. Mm-hmm. And the Bad was pretty much like a song that paints a picture of his life, his childhood, and you know how he grew up and all that, and things that happened in his family, things going on in family, and that's why I really like him, because he's being real. You know, I love that, and that's the kind of album I'm writing. I'm writing real stuff. You know, I'm not writing something I haven't lived. You know,
yeah.
Everything I write is I've seen it, I've lived it. You know,
I love that. And I love that.
So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So yeah,
I'm gonna read about more about him because I'm interested now. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you, Anna. Really good. Good. I had another interview, but it was more written one. But I think it's good when you talk, because you can say a bit more.
Yeah, I prefer that. Yeah. I'm much of a talker anyway.
I'm glad you are, because I thought I was more. I talk a lot. I do talk a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, so it makes it easy for the interviewer. You.
You know. It's great. I'm happy. And thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to next year and your music.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep an eye out. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm going to be posting this stuff.
Great. All right. Okay. So get well.
Yeah, you too.
And have a good
Some
evening.
Real shit.
You too.
Bye. Jay Dilla, Anderson .Paak, Giwa. Yeah. Tried to tell niggas, 2012 nigga, working hand to hand and no avail. Volume 1 was too heavy for you frail niggas, so I got lean like Odin and pills. Is a visionary in the vintage Chevy. It's been a while, but while you still care. Freak Nash to the past, had obituaries and bow caps. Your bitch ass was not there, and I could do anything but move backwards. The hardest thing is to keep from being distracted. My big sister's still claiming me on them taxes. Tell Uncle Sam I just need a second to act. This gave my mama 10 racks and she packed and went to Chumash with it. Could be the wife and gave me half of it. Half of it I took in the back of the air mattress. I put a stash for stash in a box with the air maxes. The rest got lost in sacks with my wifey, no BM. White niggas dropping links in my DM. Bad bitches up and down the nigga TO. I'm glad that you finally made it to the future, but you're late and the price is for the motherfucking roof. If you want, you can wait outside the building. I ain't taking no more meetings. Step in the waters. The water was cold. Cheer yelled my body, but not in my soul. Step in the waters, the water was cold. Cheer yelled my body, but not in my soul. I bring you greetings from the First Church of Boom Baptist, United Fellowship of 1618. Beside the pastor is Giwa, and the First Lady is a bad bitch who signed at Alice with thick asses, sunglasses. Martin Luther King fan for you bitch niggas sweating on my patent leather. Pressure turned their feather, waiting to a Cinderella. I ain't seen the grand day since I grew propellers. We'll do one better. Word to the liquor that killed my grandpa liver. I know you finally proud, and niggas smiling. To every hundred niggas that came and gone missing, only a handful would go to this. I swear I seen this shit coming as if I was living up under the plumbing while niggas was riffling and mumbling about what they could do. I was cooking gumbos, whipping the voodoo. I was in the jungle running with Zulus. We was looking past the struggle while life was moving so fast. You had to be sharp as a Ginsu. To the top of the food group, doing what I want, and I was shoot too. Step in the waters, the water was cold.
Step in the water.
chair, yeah, yelled my body, but not in my soul. Step in the waters, the water was cold. Chair, yeah, yelled my body, but not in my soul.